This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise belongs to Allah, the Most High and the Most Merciful. We thank Him and we ask for His help and support and forgiveness, and we ask Him to protect us from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we do. Indeed, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated. And every religious innovation is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is misguidance. And every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd. The spread of the coronavirus and the alarm over it is an opportunity for us to understand that incident at a deeper level. And understand as well what Allah Azza wa Jal tries to communicate to us through whatever is happening around us. Because everything that happens around me and you has a reason. There is a message in it. And though it is important, never discounting it, it is important to ask why this happened medically. Natural reasons, why did it happen, to try to stop it? And how we can stop it so that we can save as many people as possible. But the more important question, and the ones that we do not ask often enough, is why did this happen in relation to Allah's decree? What is it that we have done or did not do to see such a disaster, or a potential for a disaster? These are the more important questions, because you can solve a particular crisis here and there, a medical crisis here and there, but you miss out on the more important message that Allah Azza wa Jalla is sending to you and me. If there are fires in Australia, yes, we can focus on saving the animals and saving humans, etc., etc. But also ask the question of, what is it that Allah is trying to say to you and me? That everything has a message behind it. And we'll try, inshallah, to understand as much as possible in this khutbah that yes, there is another layer behind all of this. There's another side to all of that, and we need to understand it because we don't want to miss what Allah is trying to teach us, what Allah is sending to us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, he says, just to point a connection between what we do and what we receive or what we see. He says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا ظَهَرَتِ الْفَحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُعْمَلَ بِهَا فِيهِمْ عَلَانِيَةً إِلَّا ظَهَرَ فِيهِمُ الطَّاعُونُ وَالْأَوْجَاعُ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي أَسْلَافِهِمْ. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if fahisha, an obscene type of sin like zina and the likes, he says whenever it becomes a public among people, until it is done publicly without condemnation, this is alaniya, it's widespread. He says illa dhahara fihim al-ta'un, except that al-ta'un, the plague, and other types of illnesses will spread among them that were not among their predecessors. Something new that they will face because of what they are doing. And he says here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ta'un. And al-ta'un is going to repeat with us in the other hadith that I'm going to be quoting, inshaAllah. Al-ta'un, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreted that in one hadith as an infectious disease that when it hits you, it leaves painful sores on the body. That's the interpretation that he had given to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But some say that you can attach to it, you can include in it any infectious, fatal disease. So in that hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he say? He says that yes, what you do affects what you receive and what you see. The spread of al-ta'un, a plague or infectious diseases that are fatal, has a connection to how you behave, O human beings. And so when you receive it, you have to receive it and understand that you need to react in ways, not only natural ways to protect yourself from it, but also in relation to the supernatural of why this happened to us and how we can avoid it in the future. Once Aisha radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about al-ta'un. And al-ta'un again, we can understand it as any infectious fatal disease. He said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَذَابًا يَبْعَثُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He says, it was a punishment that Allah would send it upon whom He wishes. ثُمَّ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ رَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Then Allah had made it a rahmah, a mercy for the believers. All these ahadith are authentic. Most of them are coming from Bukhari. Then Allah had made them a mercy for the believers. فَلَا يُصِيبُ عَبْدٌ أَطَّاعُونَ أَوْ يَعْرُضُ لَهُ. Meaning he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person faces it, فَيَمْكُثُ صَابِرًا, and he stays where he is, patient, يَعْلَمُ أَنْ لَا يُصِيبَهُ إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. He's patient in his place, knowing that nothing will harm him except what Allah has written for him. إِلَّا كَانَ لَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ شَهِيدٍ, except that he will have the reward of a martyr, a shaheed. He'll get shahada if he dies. So in this hadith, Aisha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about this ta'un? And he says, it is a punishment. But Allah could send it as a punishment. But Allah had also made it for the believers, what? A rahmah. So he says, if it comes to a place, and the person who's in that city or in that village stays put and does not leave. Because this is the direction in another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا وَسَمِعْتُمْ بِهِ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَا تَقْدُمُ عَلَيْهِ. He says, if you hear that it is somewhere, don't visit that place. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ بِأَرْضٍ أَنْتُمْ فِيهَا فَلَا تَخْرُجُ فِرَارًا مِّنْ. He says, but if it happens and it falls in a place that you're living in, don't run away from it. stay where you are. So if it's you hear news that it's somewhere, it becomes haram for you to travel to that place. And if it happens in your own city, it's haram for you to run away from it, because that spreads it. That's the basis of quarantine. More than 1,000 years ago from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is how you eliminate it. So he says, if it happens and you happen to be in that city and you are patient, knowing that if it's going to kill you, it kills you because of the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's all written, and you're not going to flee, and you're going to not disobey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you die, you become a shaheed. And he said in another hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من مات فيه كان له أجر شهيد وقال والطاعون شهادة لأمتي. He says, الطاعون is a martyrdom for my ummah. The one who dies because of it is a martyr. ومن جلس مرابطا كان له أو من جلس فيه أو من أقام فيه كان له كأجر المرابط. He says, if you stay in your village or in your city, you don't flee, but it doesn't kill you, you'll have like the reward of someone who is murabit, stationed for jihad. ومن فر منه كان كالفار من الزحف. And the one if flees from it will be like someone who's fleeing from battle, which is a major sin. So when it happens to a people, and you happen to be in that particular city, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are three possible options for you. If you run away from it, it's like you're running away from battle, and that is a major sin. You're not supposed to do this. Is if you stay in your place, but it does not kill you, you'll have the reward of a person who is stationed for jihad for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And remember in the other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ribatu yawmin wa layla. He said to be stationed in Ribat for a day is better than night prayer during Laylatul Qadr next to the black stone. And he says, but if you're killed, it is shahada. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith, he said, فَنَاءُ أُمَّتِي بِالطَّعْنِ وَالطَّاعُونَ. He says, the extinction or the death of my ummah is through killing and the plague. Through killing and the plague. And it says in another hadith, it is in a form of dua, meaning, Ya Allah, make the death of my ummah. And the some scholars said he's talking about the immediate sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying, may Allah make the death of my ummah through killing and the plague. Why? Because that is a shahada and martyrdom lillah azza wa jalla. Well, if you're being killed, it is shahada. And if you die because of a plague, knowing that this is from Allah azza wa jalla, it is also shahada. And both of them are decrees from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, someone may ask, if it happens, is it a punishment or is it mercy? How do I look at it? We say in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَهُوَ رَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَرِجْسٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. He says, it's mercy for the believers and a punishment for the non-believers. He say, how could the same thing descending and coming down be punishment for some but mercy for others? You say, it depends on your intention and what kind of person you are and how you are going to respond to it. It's the same particular thing, but whether it's a punishment or mercy depends on you and how you react to it. Example or evidence for that is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and again the conversation is between him and Aisha. He says, يَغْزُوا جَيْشُنِ الْكَعْبَةِ. He says, there's going to be an army that is going to invade or wants to invade the Kaaba. فَيُخْصَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. He says, then their first and the last will be destroyed. The earth will swallow them. An army wants to invade the Kaaba, and he says, the earth will swallow that army. They will die, perish, all of them. So Aisha said, كَيْفَ يُخْصَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ وَفِيهِمْ أَسْوَاقُهُمْ وَمَنْ لَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. He says, how could they all die?
all be destroyed. And among them, with them, are people who are selling and buying, and people who are not part of that army. And their intent is not to invade the Kaaba, not to do any harm, they're just selling and buying. How could it be? So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. Yes, all of them are gonna die. ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَّاتِهِمْ. Then they'll be resurrected according to their intention. According to their intention. So something could come down. And it could be, in fact, a punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal. And the pious could be around, and some of the pious could die. But to them, it's not punishment. To them, it's mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To them, they'll be resurrected according to their intention. Plus, we say, there are many things in this life that could be both a punishment or mercy. Could be fitna or mercy, depending on you. Wealth is both. Wealth could be a fitna or a punishment, or it could be mercy. Children, they could be punishment and fitna, or they could be mercy. It's your spouse, everything in life, depending on how you react to it. And so everything that Allah Azza wa Jal sends, including the plague, when you look at it, yes, it could be descending down because of our injustice, because of our sins, because of our lack of obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal globally or in particular regions. That's why you see these disasters. And that's why they spread. So one reason to stop them, in addition to doing everything medical that you can, and following also the direction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about avoiding these areas and never fleeing from them, in addition to all of this, is recognizing that Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us something through all of that. And that he is telling us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the way that you're living, the injustice that you are spreading and you're allowing and you're not stopping, is destroying you. And you have to see the effect of all of this on earth, in your sustenance and provisions, in your families and everything that is around you, because you are creating these disasters. So Allah Azza wa Jal sends these things as reminders, sends these things as messages, and sends them potentially as punishment. But the way that you receive them doesn't have to be like a person who's being punished. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that the death of my ummah is going to be through being killed and also through the plague. A lot of the Sahaba were killed in battle after him صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then there was this massive plague happening in Ash-Sham. And thousands of people died in it, including a lot of the Sahaba. And in fact, about it, before it happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Jibreel came and he presented to me al-humma wa al-ta'un, fever and al-ta'un, the plague. قَالَ فَأُمْسِكَتِ الْحُمَّى بِالْمَدِينَةِ. So he said, humma was left in Medina, the fever. And then the plague was sent to Ash-Sham. And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in another hadith, that the plague never enters or will never enter Medina. Enters other places, but does not enter Medina. But that the plague, whenever it hits, it's mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it hit some of the Sahaba when those Sahaba were in Ash-Sham. And among them was Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And when it happened, Mu'adh climbed the minbar. And he gave a khutbah and he said, إِنَّهَوْ رَحْمَةُ رَبِّكُمْ. He's talking about الطاعون, the plague. He says, it is the mercy from Allah. I want you to imagine. It's not that he's seeking it. It just happened and he's there. He says, it's the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَدَعْوَةُ نَبِيِّكُمْ. And it's the supplication or the invocation or the dua of your Prophet. He's asked for some of his ummah to go through it. وَقَبْضُ الصَّالِحِينَ قَبْلَكُمْ, and how the pious used to die previous to you. How Allah would take away the pious through that type of illness, that type of affliction. Because after all, remember, it is shahada, it is martyrdom, better than dying on your deathbed. This is martyrdom. So he said, Allahumma ij'al li'ali mu'adhin haddahum min hadhihi rahmah. He says, Ya Allah, grant the family of Mu'adh their portion of this mercy. He was in it. Meaning, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, bring that to the family of Mu'adh. So Mu'adh, after he finished his khutbah, he went in his home and his son Abdul Rahman was there. And Abdul Rahman told his father, he says, Al-haqqu min rabbika fala takum min al-mumtarin. He says, this is the truth from Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning what you said is the truth from Allah. And then also the dua that you made is also a truth. So don't doubt. Meaning don't be weak if it happens. And he says, radiyallahu anhu, ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. Again, quoting the Quran, he says, you'll find me by the will of Allah from among the patient. And he died, radiyallahu anhu, in that plague. Now he didn't ask for this because he wanted to just simply kill himself, tired of life. He didn't go and visit a city that was infected. Allah Azza wa Jal selected that he should be there when it happens. And he recognized it as what? A rahmah for Allah Azza wa Jal if you behave well. So in the face of all these things that are happening, we always need to understand that yes, it does have a material, scientific explanation. But there is another side, and in fact I would say a more important side to remember, which is that supernatural divine explanation of why it happens. And there is no contradiction between the two. When we're saying that this is happening because of sin or disobedience, or as a reminder, we're not saying it does not happen also through scientific or natural means. Allah, when He operates, sometimes He breaks the norms, and sometimes He operates through what is natural and scientific. Whether it happens this way or that way, both of them are messages from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So there's no contradiction between those two explanations. And so when we receive these things, we need to ask ourselves, what is it that we have done to bring this upon us? And some forget that the Quran is full of examples of how we behaved as human beings and Allah Azza wa Jal reacted by catastrophes and disasters. Otherwise, what is the flood of Nuh alayhi salam? And what is the destruction behind Ad and Thamud and Madian? And why did Pharaoh drown? And why did Allah Azza wa Jal send birds to destroy the army of Abraha that wanted to destroy the Kaaba? All this, when you look at it, are natural consequences to what? To our acts. So as human beings, but especially as Muslims, never lose sight of the fact that anything that happens around you and me, it is destined by Allah Azza wa Jal and is intended to teach you and me a particular lesson. So don't be simply focused on the material interpretation of it and how I can save myself or cure myself or how we can cure humanity of it, but also focus on the supernatural explanation that Allah Azza wa Jal sends it for a reason. And once you know that, how are you going to react to it? If you know that this is from Allah Azza wa Jal, none of the things that happen on this earth would be a punishment for you. If you know that it is from Allah, none of the things that will be happening on the face of this earth will be a punishment for you, because he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَمْرُهُ كُلُّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. He says, he marveled at the affairs of the believer, everything that is happening to them is good for them. If it is good, they thank Allah and it is good for them. Or if it is hardship and they are patient, it is good for them. So if you are pious, you're not going to be punished. Even hardship for you is rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to turn to ourselves and the rest of humanity and say, but pay attention that Allah Azza wa Jalla is allowing these things to happen because of what our hands have earned. Because of that injustice that you're allowing to spread. Because of that disobedience that you practice publicly. Because you defy your Creator. And if you continue to do this, you'll continue to face more and more of it. in all aspects of life. So if you want to stop those disasters, stop sinning. And stop angering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And come back, because then He will bless you. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, to save us and our families and the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his anger, and to save all of humanity from his anger, and to make us of those who read his messages well and react to them and repent from our ways. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Jannah our final abode and our final home. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all evil in this life, all evil in the hereafter. We ask him Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, to send upon us his mercy and to save us from his anger and to save us from the evil within ourselves and to save us from the sins that we commit and their consequences, and to grant us immediately a sincere repentance so that we would go back to him and we do not listen to the shaitan and his temptations. We do not listen to the weakness that is within us. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala that he teaches us the lessons softly and kindly. And we ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all evil and our loved ones. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, the major ones and the small ones, the ones that we remember and the ones that we forgot about. We ask him Rabbil Alameen to unite the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the truth, upon his book, and upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask him to grant us the best of manners. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the best in this life and in the hereafter. Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulubi thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulubi sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Allahumma nas'aluka al-khayra kullahu ajilahu wa ajilahu ma alimna minhu wa ma lam na'lam. Wa na'udhu bika min ash-sharri kullihi ajilihi wa ajilihi ma alimna minhu wa ma lam na'lam. Wa nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka 'abduka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi وسلم. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، وأقم الصلاة.